state of Alaska go far beyond the limit of the laws passed by the legislature, many times ignoring the legislative directive or going beyond the limits of what the legislature intended in the first place. Once regulations go into effect, they have all the force of law, even though no single person elected by the voters has approved them. I firmly believe that the framers of our state constitution never intended that any governmental body except the legislature have the power to make laws. The Alaska Constitution provides a system of checks and balances among the three branches of government and further provides the people of Alaska their own checks and balances through the voting booth, the initiative process, and final authority over amendments to the Constitution. The one area that is not currently accessible to the people's checks and balances is the volume of administrative regulations which are written by the state agencies and the executive branch of government, regulations that affect every aspect of these people's lives, yet they are powerless to change them. This measure would provide a reasonable avenue for annulment of improper regulations. In your packet, Mr. Chairman, I have done some backup for you that shows the 3 years that had gone before the voters and failed. If you'll note, in 1984, it only failed by a 4% margin. I think you might also find it interesting to read the position papers, whom they were written by and how they were written on each one of these ballot propositions. They are quite educational. And going back over some of the regulations that have been promulgated in the last few years, I have noted on two incidences where the legislature refused to pass legislation on particular matters, but they were put into regulation anyway. If you have any questions, I'm sure you have others that want to testify on this matter.
I was just going to suggest that we hire Catherine Nordale to write our side of the She's three and zero.
Three for zero.
Yes.
Senator Rodin.
This is the exact
language. We don't want to hire Mike Szymanski.
It has been different, I believe, each time, Senator Rodin. If memory serves me right.
Was there a two-thirds requirement last time, or was it a joint? Majority.
On the passage?
Yes.
Joint. I mean, it was a majority.
Two-thirds.
Mr. Chairman, you'll also note, and maybe I'm being picky, but having voted on all three of these measures, on all three occasions, I was working for the legislature in some capacity during those years and was aware of the ballot measure. However, I didn't feel that it was placed before the voters quite the way you gentlemen passed it.
Well, I hope maybe this year the Lieutenant Governor will be, I know he's sponsored this legislation in the past, as I recall, or at least he's authored it. I thought he authored one of the explanations. So maybe he'll be more apt. I think that I'm just as confused and disappointed in the outcomes. And so I'm kind of intrigued by the whole thing as to why the voting public seems to want to protect the, you know, the executive from the legislative, and maybe I'm too close to it, I don't understand it, but to me that's the intriguing question is why the voters seem to be turning this down, albeit by what I thought was a trend towards, you know, increasingly closer, but now it's gone way back the other way. So I'm just wondering if there isn't some smarter, a way of ensuring that the public will have a better understanding of this issue rather than just reading it for the first time on the ballot. And I don't know if it's appropriate for the legislature to, it's probably not appropriate for the legislature to spend public funds to try to inform the public more about this issue. I'm just kind of searching for some kind of an idea to try to not just have it lose again, but rather succeed through some more educational efforts.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to that, something I found interesting in going through this is, and please don't take this in the manner the way it's said, but in the people that have written in support of the ballot measure are not necessarily the people whose legislation it was that passed. And I don't quite understand how they came into play as far as providing this information for the ballot measure. One of the things that disturbed me, and I can say having to try to explain it to, you know, say friends that I know and so forth that are not associated with the legislature, if you look at both the ballot proposition in 1980 as well as the one in 1984, as they explain it on the ballot, I find it very difficult, and I know what they're talking about. So what happens with when you talk to someone on the street, they say, well, what is the legislature really up to? Mm. See, it's not a matter of this regulation is going to affect me, and can't you people do something about it? And the same people that you talk to on the phone on this matter, and you'll say, how did you vote? They say, I voted against it because it looked like you guys were up to something, you're going to do something. See, and I don't understand who makes the decision. Now, I don't know if you as a legislative body can direct the lieutenant governor's office, or somehow the support has got to come out so the people understand what you're talking about. And I think it's very extremely difficult to understand. And I don't understand the statements in favor, why they're provided by those particular people. Since my particular senator, it was his in 1984 that went on the ballot. So I don't understand why he was not writing a supporting statement and someone else was.
I guess it's up to the lieutenant governor, isn't it? He controls all that elections process, so I think it's up to him, isn't it?
Well, maybe we should write the language of the Constitution better. Mm-hmm. I suppose we could write it like an advertisement, just as some other people write the opposing statements. generally, to make constitutional language neutral is the right way to go. This one doesn't seem to fly going neutral.
Well, as Mr. Chairman, as you say, and I don't think it's neutral, as a matter of if you read those propositions, they're written as fact. The general public doesn't understand that you need, so many readings in a day and so many jury to pass and this sort of thing. It has to be a little more simplified, I think. That's, to me, is how it came, at least in my opinion.
Well, there's another way to say it. And that is that instead of saying a regulation may be repealed by regulation, turn it around and say a bill repealing a regulation is not subject to veto.
I'm not sure I'm going to touch that. Well, I think you'd be getting into a whole different arena, though.
But that's really what the debate's about.
That's a good point.
That's true, Mr. Chairman. But the thing is, you have to remember, you can do that right now.
No.
Yes, you can pass a bill, but you have to stand up against the veto power. And I'm not sure you. I think you'd have some problems there.
But if you read the articles against using a resolution, they attack the resolution procedure as somehow something different than a bill.
That's true.
When the only significant difference in the balance of powers question is the veto question.
The veto power.
I think that's a good point. I think it's very clear, much simpler, clearer. You don't have to explain so much. And I think that might work.
Another problem, and the reason this bill hasn't received overwhelming endorsement, is the fact that the legislature is not held in overly high estate by much of the public.
That's
we
true.
We shouldn't forget that.
Oh, that's true.
They may like us individually, but as an institution, there seem to be some lingering questions.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true, but I think of the complaints that I get in my office from constituents, I would say a significant amount of them have to do with their response to regulations that impact them negatively. And they'll say, how could you possibly have passed this bill? And in fact, we didn't. It's something that the department did.
But they don't understand that.
I always try to explain it to them, but it's really frustrating. Because
I think it's clear that, that most people would say that the legislature ought to be able to say, no, this regulation is inconsistent with the law that we just passed. I don't think too many thinking people would say no to that without hearing the counter-argument. Then it gets into muddy water. But I think what Senator Hoffer's saying is let's figure out a better way of selling this thing, and I think that's what I was kind of getting at, is let's think of a way that it takes it away from all this convoluted explanations and arguments and tries to simplify it and make it a more easily understood issue, and it simplifies it down to the point where into the central question of whether or not who has the last word.
I just want to say something. As someone who's had experience trying to keep regulations, from being finalized, it's infinitely much more difficult to overcome regulations than it is a piece of legislation. I mean, I've seen legislation turned around or just killed by public input, but you never have that opportunity to educate the public in terms of what the regulations are doing, and there isn't enough time to be able to do anything to overcome them, because I tried several years ago with a group of people to overcome some regulations. We worked very hard, and they're very unsuccessful in doing it. So it's really harder to overcome them. And one more thing, and they do, one of the comments that was made at that time and was made again by another department on another bill that I've been following was that they had no desire or interest in understanding legislative intent, and they were going to do their own thing and interpret it in their own way. And, for example, the workers' compensation bill that we passed in 1988, through the department actions and regulations, guess what they're doing? They're bringing the bill back exactly to where it was when we changed the law in 1988. They're doing it inch by inch, piece by piece, and kind of nobody notices.
Well, and we created the problem. We passed the Administrative Procedures Act that set up the standard of regulation. And as long as you have standards of regulation that essentially say that anything that is, you know, somewhere near reasonable with regard to the wording of the statute is going to be permissible, we have a very liberal way of getting a regulation and no way of getting rid of one. The other way to take it is it takes the same majority to pass a bill over a gubernatorial veto in this area as it does to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot. And the other way to deal with this basic separation of powers question is to change the regulatory standard of the Administrative Procedures Act. And if that is vetoed, then have the same vote that it takes for a constitutional amendment to be able to override the veto. This has been a traditional split in the branches of government for at least a dozen years that I've been involved, and it was a split before that, but dealt with the other way before the court action.
Do you recall, you probably have better recollection or more history, did the legislature do much in the way of annulling regulations before 1980?
I don't recall.
Very little.
I don't recall. Very little.
Very little.
Talked about
it. I was here before then, but I don't remember.
At least it was
doing
a threat of some sort.
Yeah, we threatened them. That's probably what we did.
Mr. Chairman, I think go back. I think I can recall of one incident. The problem that you have right now is, unless it's something you're following on a day-to-day basis, there's a number of regulations in there that never have seen the light of day as law. In other words, corporal punishment is a prime example.
It's been defeated.
And it's been, that's right. And or it never got out of one house of origin. And I agree with you, Senator. I've had departments say the same thing to me. It doesn't really matter. When they go home, we'll put it in regulation, quote unquote. And I think this is why, and the public is becoming more aware. But the statements that are put on those ballots are confusing. They are just absolutely confusing.
I agree. The language that we have before us is clear. The legislature may repeal a regulation adopted. And the question is one of how the public is informed depending on the high or low state of the administration or legislature at that particular time. My suggestion would be that we put on the ballot several times tonight. It's not unreasonable to put it on again and see if the public has changed their mind.
Mr. Chairman, may I suggest something else? And I hate to hold this up for this particular reason, and maybe it's not necessary that we could do it in finance, but maybe, I hate letters of intent, but if there was just some way of...
Letter of intent of the Constitution.
I know it. It's nothing. I mean,
strong letter follows.
Yeah, I think the directive to the Lieutenant Governor's office is maybe done by the sponsor or by the committee or something of this sort, that we certainly work together with them on making sure that it's a clear, concise support action that goes on that ballot.
Well,
and that may not need to be said.
Let's... I think we should wait and see. We've got plenty of time. This is a constitutional amendment. It's not burning a hole in the committee's files. I would like to see us get this balance back, and so the way to do it is important then. And why don't we see if we can come up with a way that makes it work. We'll leave it on the table for right now. It is on the table for any idea, consideration, or any request to bring it up. And if nobody requests it in a week or so, we'll bring it up and go ahead and move it on. But let's see what we come up with in the next week or two or something. Are there any members of the public that wanted to testify on this before we go off of it? Senate Joint Resolution number 2. We can't get anybody to say a word.
You know, one other thing that I guess I was focusing more on the explanations provided in our voter pamphlet, but really, right, the way you summarized them, no matter how you write it, it could be summarized in any way that the Lieutenant Governor saw fit and the courts ultimately upheld, I suppose.
Well, the summary ought to be in the bill then. I think we've done that on a couple of other things.
I think, yeah, but I think that's outside of our current law. I think the discretion to write the summary is contained in other law and reserved to the executive, I mean, to the Lieutenant Governor. But, you know, you just look.
Well, that might be something we should consider, because if the legislature wants to put a question with a specific summary on the ballot, the legislature ought to be able to
sure.
do that.
Sure, that's right.
So we should look at, it's got to be a different title, because this is a constitutional amendment on a joint resolution, but if
yeah.
we have some statute
yeah.
that says the legislature doesn't have the ability to summarize what its question is, that's probably a mistake in terms
absolutely.
Of our own powers as well.
Yes, yes.
Unless there's other business to come before the committee, we're going to adjourn.
Are we adjourned?
We're adjourned.